from stpetecatalyst.com.
And we're back. Hey, I'm Bill DeYoung with the St. Pete Catalyst Arts Alive podcast. My guests today are two very special people from Fairgrounds St. Pete. Co-founder and CEO Liz Dimmitt.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And there she is. And co-founder and CTO, which I think means Chief Technical Officer, Mikhail Manchin.
Thanks for having us on.
You're both here, and it's nice to see your smiling faces here today. Let's talk about Fairgrounds for a minute. For the 10 of you out there who don't know, it is an interactive art experience, art and technology experience. And I'm gonna let Liz take this one. What is it and what happens there?
Fairgrounds St. Pete is a museum of immersive art and technology. We're located just 5 minutes from downtown here. And what we are is an experiential art installation where you go inside and the entire world around you is made by artists and all of your senses are engaged. So touch, smell, hearing, everything. It's this whole entire artist-made world.
It's not one room. It's almost like it's like a little city, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, help me describe it to people, Mikhail.
Well, we say choose your own experience. You can go through the museum in many different ways. It's nonlinear. There is a story woven through the fabric of all of the different installations for you to discover. But people come in under different pretenses. Some people just love slowing down and looking at all the artwork made by over 70 artists.
70. I remember it was a big number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've grown. We've definitely been adding things every few months. Most recently, we've done a big expansion, an installation by the Milagros Collective called Shrimpfinity.
Oh, sure, yeah. The Shrimp Room.
Yeah, the Shrimp
Room. As we call it around the Catalyst.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested. Let's talk about the origins first. And Liz, you and I have spoken about this quite a bit. And Fairgrounds St. Pete opened in, I think it was September of 21. But there was kind of a long run up to it. I mean, that pesky pandemic happened in the middle of it. But this idea, as I remember, was yours. This was something you said you'd seen, you'd done before. I want to bring this to St. Pete. How'd you know it would work here?
I didn't know it would work here, but I knew that it was really immersive art and these sort of art experiences are really engaging and really fun and sort of the next thing in the art world or the tourism and cultural markets. Mm-hmm. So I knew that we had an incredibly culturally savvy and artistically fun market here in St. Pete, and that highlighting the artists and finding artists to participate in something like Fairgrounds St. Pete would be pretty easy because there is such an incredibly well-established cultural community.
So the idea is, how many square feet?
It's 15,000 square feet.
That's a lot of space. And it's not just one big room, folks. It's not like walking into just some warehouse. Boy, there's paintings on the wall. Neat. That's not what it is at all. And you envisioned this really as an experience was the word you always used.
Yeah. You know, I had been to a bunch of other experiences around the country and around the world, Meow Wolf being one that maybe people sort of know the most, and then came back here to St. Pete. I had been living and working in New York for many years, but am from here and came back and knew I wanted to do something here and started asking people and arts and cultural leaders, just started networking with them and talked to John Collins, who was the then head of the St. Pete Arts Alliance, and he said to me, well, there's one person you have to meet, this guy, Mikhail Manchin. He does art and technology together, and you should really connect with him. And I remember being, you know, he gave me Mikhail's phone number, which was so, you know, last century. I had to actually call Mikhail on the phone, which made me very nervous. So I, you know, dialed him up and called him on the phone, and we ended up talking and just really sort of riffing off of each other and having a lot in common, had seen a lot of the same things, were interested in a lot of the same things in the art world, and really just sort of knew right away that we had the same sensibilities. So we set up a time to meet together in person and start talking about it, and sort of the rest is history.
Yeah, I actually had a CAD file open of Meow Wolf's Las Vegas space that I was working on.
Yeah.
When Liz called, and your first question was, well, have you heard of Meow Wolf? I'm looking at the CAD file.
Right in front of me. Yeah.
He's being very nonchalant here because he was looking at the CAD files because Mikhail is a Meow Wolf Las Vegas artist.
His work is on view there.
So all of a sudden I knew I was nervous for a reason because I was talking to like a legit immersive creative technologist.
Mikhail, you know, you're an engineer, a technology guy, and also an artist, which to me is a fascinating combination. I know people who do set design for theater, you know, and they're incredibly creative and they can make you anything you want, you know. Functional things, you know, things that have flashing lights or something that moves or something that is coded and repeats or something, you know. But as I say, it's functional, it's technical, but you're an artist. You take it beyond that. What does that mean to you? Can you explain that to me?
Sure. Yeah. And theater technicians are really inspiring to me because they do work with so many materials and are in service of a lot of stories. So for me, I did a lot of technology before making art, or that's untrue. As a child, I made a lot of art and did creative things, then started learning as a trade technology and engineering, and did a lot of technical jobs, also in the U.S. Air Force. And then when I later wanted to make art, things just got technical because I just had a lens in the way that I would look at things. And I would, when I try to make a piece of art, I would wind up making a little system of stuff that worked together. Like I would, for instance, an electronic circuit and lights and sensors, and then I was a computer programmer as well. So I would ultimately try to program things. And after a while, that just became the way of me making art. And I realized other people actually do this. There's a history and a practice. Some of that I've been writing about recently. And so I guess I was sort of joining an avant-garde, you know, movement in art. But I think it looks maybe unique in certain areas. But when I went to school, I actually found a whole community of people that were kind of looking at art this way and sort of putting it under the umbrella new media art. And so what I, you know, the way that I try to approach it is that you can create these very new types of experiences for people, and I think the surprise and the reward is in that when things come to life, you know. And I think that's what we're, you know, Fairground St. Pete kind of represents.
Is that what happened when Liz sort of presented this idea to you? Here's what I want to do. Did you go, yeah, that's what I'm talking
about? It felt very intuitively right. And also all the context and background, you know, like we both knew that there's a strong experience economy, like this is a thing. We both understood that this area in particular not only championed the arts, but was just really rich culturally. It also is exciting for me personally because I didn't feel like there was art and technology happening here by a large degree. You saw instances of it, but yeah. I really wanted that to exist here because my wife and I had moved back here from Rhode Island, and we were like, okay, I'm looking for the art and technology people. We had a meetup for a while called OK Transmit that sought to bring together scientists and engineers and artists, but it was always, they were relatively small, and so it just felt like, okay, if we're going to do it here, we actually need to educate people on what that is and educate artists and help to sort of bring people into this practice.
Do you feel like you've done that since Fairgrounds happened? I mean, it maybe set a precedent.
Well, it's definitely talked about a lot more now. I mean, we frame our whole Fairgrounds St. Pete, we call it a museum of immersive art and technology.
Yeah.
You know, so we really intentionally put those pieces together to show that like technology extends into other innovative areas, and so people who are interested in STEM can also think about the STEM to STEAM transition, where, you know, like sciences are enriched with arts and arts are enriched with the sciences. So I think that we really believe in that.
I also think something that's really exciting about Fairgrounds St. Pete, and it's really because of Mikhail and his know-how and expertise, is that we worked with a lot of artists to actually res up their practices and bring technology into their practices for the first time or to expand their practices to be entire installations all of a sudden. So look at an artist like Chris Parks, also known as Pale Horse, very well known in St. Pete for his beautifully hand-painted murals.
I like his stuff in fairgrounds. That's one of my favorite little.
And he,
I don't know if you call them rooms or areas.
He has, definitely has an entire room, an entire installation.
Chris's stuff is so cool.
And we really pushed him to create an entire installation. So he took new steps in his practice, such as created those infinity sort of mirror viewing items and a stained glass window for the first time. And he has a lamp overhead and the soundtrack that goes along with it. So all of a sudden, artists that were known for one thing or had one thing down in their practice, we really pushed them to expand their practice and think outside the box.
You did make a difference in the artistic kind of circles and community here. I was interested really in how you presented to Mikhail the first time, this is what I want, and how when he got into the space said, I could do that, or well, how about this? How collaborative did it become?
It's been completely collaborative. So I don't think I ever said, this is what I want. I just sort of said, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I think we could do. Here's a space that I'm thinking about that we could use. And we just started talking and collaborating from there. Yeah. And then really over many conversations with Mikhail and Olivia and then Tyson Johnson, who came on, we started thinking about all it could be. We all agreed right away that it should be themed around Florida. I mean, and we really call it Weird, Wacky, Wonderful Florida. And we knew we wanted
it's pretty much all of it, Liz. Well, wonderful. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Sure.
And we knew we wanted to have a very storyful, is what we call it, space. Yeah. Yeah. But really, you know, we just all sort of sat down together, and actually Mikhail and Olivia created this sort of day-long session where we worked on narratives and themes and ideas. And we came up with some sort of key ideas that we then started to flesh out and develop more and more. But I think it's been all of our input from the beginning. And then you just sort of like, oh, that's a great idea. Let's keep on doing that, or more of this. Or
do you, Mikhail, see an installation going in or in the planning stage and go, I know what I can do with this. I can make the lights move like this. I can make the clouds move.
A bit. No. I approach it like an architect. It was so many different inputs. That's why we decided to start with a design workshop, because we knew there were lots of ideas. We got all the ideas on the table, actually on the walls, lots and lots and lots of post-its, and then just kind of ranked and sorted things. But we were also looking at an empty factory warehouse space and making visits there and looking around and thinking architecturally, like, oh, look at these old offices. Are we going to, you know, try to tear these offices down and just start from blank slate? Or are we going to get creative and use this as constraints? And we think Florida motels are like a motif that we can play with. And what if these offices become the motel rooms? And what if we, you know, use this wall and turn that into the facade? So I think there's a lot of just looking for the opportunities.
The facility becomes part of the artwork, too.
It really does.
That's brilliant. That's like found materials almost.
So you're always responding to things, and the artists as well, you know, like which artists get involved. We, as an internal art and technology team, riff on their ideas as much as they're responding to us. So it does become really collaborative. No one would have guessed that we would have an ice cream cone spaceship, like in the middle of the exhibition.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, on that note, I've talked about this before, especially when Shrimpfinity arrived. How has it evolved since the beginning? You know, and I haven't been by there in a while, and I know there's some different things. And talk to me about that, if you will. Either one of you.
I can start and just say, so far we've been just layering so many things on top of what we already had there and adding in more artists. And then we just had this recent expansion with Milagros Collective Shrimpfinity. But the tech layers have really been sort of seamlessly added on. So Mikhail and his team are always busy working on something. And we've added this warp room. We've added a search wall. And I can let him sort of describe even better what we've added on. But there are always sort of layers of things being added on, especially as the public really engages with our narrative and the stories and the various games and scavenger hunts you can do at fairgrounds. We sort of get their feedback and what they're sort of gravitating to and thinking about, and then sort of res up those areas.
Wow, scavenger hunts. How cool. I mean, did you ever have like a Halloween night, like a trick-or-treat night?
We absolutely have all in October Halloween-themed scavenger hunts and little spookier type things to do.
I can just see, like, you know, costume people sort of lurking about, and I don't know. I'm just riffing here.
The playing games and interacting with technology that gives you feedback in the different exhibits is a way to uncover narratives and for people to dig a little deeper to discover something. And so we use that as our tools. It also makes engagement fun and playful. So there are kind of puzzle type things to solve. There are scavenger hunts and adventures to go on. There are narratives to read into. And it kind of scratches the itch of many different types of people. It's really fun for all ages. And like I said, some people just come to, you know, sit down in the middle of the room and take it all in and just, you know, meditate.
What's the reaction been to the Milagros Collectives, to the shrimp room? What's the reaction been from folks? You know,
Shrimpfinity sort of perfectly sums up fairgrounds. It is just bizarre and wacky, but it's a joyous space and really whimsical when you go inside, and just a lot of fun. I think as a team, you know, we were waiting to hear back from Milagros Collective about their ideas. And then we all sort of got an email in our inbox with their proposal. And I remember sort of opening it up and thinking, shrimp. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't take us long before we just said yes. And we love it when artists can really just, you know, express themselves, and we can support that. You know, so it is a really fun, whimsical space, unless you're a shrimp.
Yeah. Well, you solicited them. But, I mean, do artists kind of contact you and say, hey, I have an idea. I'd like to
We reached out because we loved their work and what they were doing.
Yeah.
And they, you know, we felt they'd be a good fit just by, you know, superficially kind of following them. Once we got into conversations, we said, okay, well, these are really nice folks. We always want to build good relationships with artists, and you know, there's some shared mutual values. We encourage them to submit a concept, and that's when they submitted the shrimp concept.
Yeah. And why not? As Liz says, why not?
They're like, we've wanted to do this for a really long
time. But do artists actually kind of send you emails and say, I have an idea?
Yeah.
Will you listen to me and maybe give me a room, you know?
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Are you expanding? I mean, you growing space-wise? I mean, is that in the future somewhere?
Well, we did in that instance. You know, we have expanded, and I mean, yes.
So I think we're always evolving. So our next thing will be to continue to res up what we have, and then starting to, over time, change things out and sort of go into the next phase. But it's always been to be a space that's constantly evolving and changing. And we are sort of always adding new things every day.
Let's talk about your Transformed by Rainbows, which is coming up. I love that expression. You have a Pride event thing starting on June 1st where you're adding, I guess, rainbows to the existing spaces. Who wants to tell me about that? Because I think it's fascinating.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we use a lot of light as a medium
for
creative expression all throughout fairgrounds. It's a very, you know, we have literally hundreds of thousands of like LED pixels and LEDs and just lights everywhere. So it's huge in lighting. So it becomes sort of an obvious way to celebrate, you know, through like the diversity of the Pride Month through, you know, lighting. And what we're doing is we're transforming several of our spaces into colorful installations and then also some surprises along the way.
Are we talking rainbow shrimp?
That was definitely discussed. We were also very like...
I think that's a delicacy in Louisiana.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to have rainbow shrimp this year, but, you know.
Well, it's starting June 1st as a sort of a salute to Pride Month. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, Mikhail, after today, I'm going to have to have you back so we can have the code as a creative medium discussion.
Yes.
because, Liz, I'm looking at this guy, and he's absolutely brilliant. And I was telling him before we started that I'd read something he wrote for Creative Pinellas called Code as a Creative Medium. And round about the middle of the second paragraph, I got completely – I have no idea what he's talking about. But he's a brilliant guy, and I can tell. And next time, that's what we're talking about. I'll read up on it. Maybe 6 or 8 months from now, I'll at least know what I'm talking about.
Well, it should definitely be around next January, because Mikhail will be having a solo show at Creative Pinellas of his art and his practice. So this creative technology – Please say it better
you
than
just,
I do.
You just got a grant from these guys.
Yeah.
Right? And didn't they name you artists, most extraordinary artists on the planet or something?
No.
St. Pete Art Alliance made him best art and technologist.
That's right. Yeah. So the St. Pete Art Alliance that's their annual Muse Award.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that was great. Along with a lot of other talented artists, I got the Art and Technology
You got the Muse Award
category.
This year, but didn't Creative Pinellas also name you?
Yeah, I got the Professional Artist Grant.
Did they name you Artist Laureate?
The Laureate, yeah.
What does that mean? It sounds great, but, you know.
Well, we're discovering that together. I think it means something different each year for the artist that's selected. For me, it will lead to a solo exhibition at their beautiful space in Largo, and also some artist talks along the way, and I'll just be collaborating with them. And of course, I'm doing the writing on their blog as well.
Yeah, Creative Pinellas and the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance, I mean, they do great things for artists in this town, and we're happy to have them all. That's in January this will happen?
Yes.
These will be installations. We're talking not just like Mikhail mentions oil paintings, but we're talking about...
This will be an installation, yes. Hopefully it'll
technologically cool stuff.
Technologically cool stuff,
yeah.
For sure.
I think you should call it that. I think
that's the title of the show.
So, folks, if you're interested, the website is fairgrounds.art. And I guess there's a www in front of that, but we don't use those anymore. Fairgrounds.art will give you the hours and kind of tell you about it. There's some incredible, like, photographs on there and videos and all kinds of information about this wonderful, wonderful place, which is, what's the address? Is that on Fairfield?
2606 Fairfield Avenue South.
Okay.
We're right off the bike trail near Tropicana in the Warehouse Arts District.
And kind of near the factory or part of that whole
ring.
Yes. Hey, well, you all know where that is. Anyway, it's fairgrounds.art. Mikhail Manchin, Liz Dimmitt.
From stpetecatalyst.com.